This is the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast, episode 70. Good day and welcome to this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, podcaster, and author of Fun Fantasy Reads, Jamie Davis. This podcast is exactly what the title says it is, folks. It's a show focused on everything to do with fantasy books, where we try to bring you the best and brightest of the authors and other people from the various corners of the fantasy book world, whether it's an epic fantasy or urban fantasy, grimdark, swords and sorcery, you name it, we try to bring them to you here on the show. Let's kick off this episode first off with my update for the week. I'm excited to launch the final book in the Broken Throne series today. Mended Throne is an epic ending to an epic tale with magic gone wrong, a hero sacrifice, just to save the world as she knows it. I urge you to check out the entire complete 5-book series. That's right, it's a completed series, so if some of you out there don't read series until they're completed, this one's done. All 5 books are now out. And I urge you to check out this whole series. It was a lot of fun to write. I really enjoyed it. It's, I think, some of my better work. And I try to improve, of course, with everything I write. But this series was a lot of fun to work on. And I hope you'll enjoy it as well. As always, if you want to know more about what I'm up to, check out my fan group on Facebook, Jamie's Fun Fantasy Readers, and on my website and blog at jamiedavisbooks.com. Okay, let's get into this week's episode guest. Devin Ausplund is a person who lives just outside Buffalo, New York. He lives there with his wife, 2 dogs, and 2 cats. He works as a contracts manager by day and a writer by night. And he says writing is, of course, his true passion. So we talk with Devin about his writing, his books, especially his Endless Fantasy Online, The Phoenix Kingdom series. It's a lit RPG epic fantasy. It's a lot of fun and engaging. We talk about that and a bunch of other stuff on the show, and that's coming right up. Check out my chat with Devin. Here it is. Devin, I'd like to welcome you to the show, and here we are at the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. Why don't you introduce yourself to our audience?
Hi, I'm Devin Ausplund. I'm a new lit RPG artist and a first-time author.
Awesome, and I'm excited to have you on. As a lit RPG author myself, it's always nice to have people in the genre coming on the show and representing. And I got a chance to actually read the beginning of your book, started it today. So I'm kind of excited to kind of chat with you a little bit about it. So before we get into that, though, can we talk a little bit, maybe tell us a little bit about what got you started writing?
Absolutely. Well, I've always been a longtime reader. I've read all the big lit RPG authors. I've read all the little ones. And more than that, I've read a lot of books in general. My entire house is actually full of books. So one day I sat down and said, you know, I have a lot of great ideas and time to create my own world and give this a shot. And then I committed 4 months of my life at going at it.
That's not bad, 4 months to get your first book out. I got to tell you, for a lot of people, it takes a way longer than that to get that first book done. So kudos on that.
Appreciate that.
Now, has it always been fantasy for you, or a combination of fantasy and sci-fi?
I tend to stick to fantasy and sci-fi when I read. I do broaden my horizon the best I can. Did a lot in school, did a lot of reading then. But for the most part, it's fantasy and sci-fi, yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. I know your book just came out in August, but it seems to be doing pretty well and well-reviewed. Why don't you explain to us a little bit about the premise of your story and how kind of you would introduce it to somebody if you were telling somebody what you wrote?
Sure. So my story follows the tale of a young college student who tries out a new VR game, and something goes wrong that gets him and everyone else who's testing the game stuck in there. And most of the first book follows their woes of kind of coming to terms with that and not being able to return to their families or friends. And while that's going on, a dark force is kind of rising in the background, and they not only have to cope with the new reality, but they also have to learn to survive.
Which is not to put this in anything other than great terms, because I'm enjoying the book greatly, but it is a pretty standard trope for lit RPG books. It certainly is how my books go with the Accidental series. You know, somebody gets pulled into their game and can't get back out again immediately and has to find a way to get themselves free. So it's a standard challenge, but I like the way you've kind of addressed it. You know, everybody seems to be in the same fix together. It's not just following a single character exclusively. He seems to be amidst a group of people that are caught up in this.
Yeah, it definitely follows some of the similar tropes, and the whole entire testing community is stuck in there with him. And I do a lot of nice world building to try to give him a nice atmosphere and world to kind of survive in and learn.
I know it's a challenge, at least it was for me, to keep track of all the stats and work in the gaming elements. It's one of the things. I actually had two different people tracking the numbers to make sure my experience points numbers added up and the stats were consistent from chapter to chapter and things like that. How hard was it for you to keep track of that kind of stuff?
Well, luckily I went into this with one primary goal, and that was to make a book my grandmother could read. And my grandmother is the farthest thing from a gamer. So one thing I did was I threw a lot of RPG elements in there, but a lot of it is behind the scenes. You know, I'll say he gains a bunch of skills or gains a new skill, I'll list it. So I track that all in the background, and not a lot of it's not actually in the writing. So every now and then when I went through my editing process, I did have to fudge a few things, but I did have some good editors who specifically looked for those type of mistakes or XP misses, and they really helped out. We found a couple in the last edit of the book. But I do agree it's very hard to track that from chapter to chapter, especially when you're making changes.
Yeah, it certainly was a challenge for me, and I'm certainly not the crunchiest Elite RPG books out there on my end either. I really wrote mine so that an epic fantasy person who enjoyed a good epic fantasy book or swords and sorcery book would enjoy my books, because you know, with understanding that there are gaming elements, but not getting like constant stats and charts and things like that, that some people really enjoy, and can, you know, as in the crunchier books, the books with a lot of stats in them, there are a lot of people out there who really eat those things up.
Oh yeah, definitely. There's definitely a good balancing act you have to come up with. And I would say mine leans more on the slice of life genre with the fantasy and game elements in there.
Yeah, it's that balance between creating a great story and creating a great gaming system. Because I think a lot of books, you could actually game, you know, you could play the gaming system they've created, which is a great idea and great thing to do. I tended to lean on an existing gaming system. You know, my book's pretty much, you know, a computer version of the old D&D game from years ago. And so it's just, you know, I've been playing that for years, and it's ingrained in my system. So the system I came up with is just so similar to that, and therefore is also very familiar to a lot of people in general. And that helps things move along. And I felt the same way about yours. I mean, it's very, you know, it's a very understandable system and seems familiar, even though it's not actually an actual game, but it feels like it could be because of the familiar things you've added. So just out of curiosity, you know, you said that this is book one. Obviously that means book two is out there somewhere, at least even if it's only in your brain right now. What's the plan as far as getting book two together for yourself?
Well, when I started book one, what I really tried focusing on was studying how to write a good book, how to make a good plot, you know, have your starting section, your climb, your fall, your climax. So for this book, book two, I started doing that same process, and I finished that actually last week, and I have now finished chapter one, so book two is underway and in the process right now.
How have you found like the process for yourself now that you're starting on book two? Now that you've written one book, have you found it easier to kind of dig into book two, or have you found it more challenges now that you know more?
I think I found it a little bit easier. A lot of what I did in book one was develop my game system, develop the laws of the world, kind of do a lot of world building. And then I set a daily writing goal of 1,500 words. So for book two, I've outlined what I want to do, but I had to spend a lot less time writing the rules of the world or the items that, the mechanics that run everything. So this time I've been able to focus purely on writing and focusing on my story as a whole. So it's been going a lot quicker, but a lot easier, I think. And hopefully it gets easier as I go along.
Now, when you thought of the story, did you come up with the premise of the story? You said, I'm going to write a lit RPG story. It's going to be a guy in a VR system, and this is the character. Or did you come up with a character representation first? You said, I want to have this gamer guy, and I'm going to get him involved in a gaming system. Which way did you go? Did you kind of start with the world or start with the character?
I started heavy into the world when I started out. The character kind of developed himself. I wrote a rough outline of his, mannerisms and his personality, but he really developed as I wrote the book. The world was where I spent most of my time early on, and I kind of put my character, Luke, in there and saw what he did and just what made sense in my head. Would Luke do this? Would Luke do that? And he just developed on his own.
It's fun discovering your character that way, isn't it?
Absolutely. You think of things, I remember at one point I wanted him to turn away from his guild. And then I thought, well, Luke's a geeky kid, shy, and now he has friends. I don't think he'd ever turn away from them. And I started making these new chapters and thoughts for him on the whim. And he really became like a real person.
Yeah. It's fun to have them. Like they start getting a mind of their own. It's almost as if they make you're writing and they go in a direction you didn't plan on them going out of the blue. And it's that discovery as a writer. That's one of the things I enjoy the most.
I completely agree.
So I know you've talked a little bit about in our pre-game questionnaire that I sent you, that you really enjoy going to catch movies and it really helps to influence you. What would you say is one of the more influential movies or movie series that has kind of helped drive you to be a better writer or be a better storyteller?
Yeah, what I love about movies is you get a glimpse of a new world. And with movies, it's really difficult because you only have an hour or so to explore that, where with a book, even an audio book, you have 9-10 hours with a good book, and you really got time to develop characters. So I like going to see movies that have a lot of depth and story. I mean, as far as fantasy movies and influencing me as a writer, I got to give it up to, Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit, all those epic fantasy novels. I'm a huge Star Wars fan too, and I like the story progress through the years on that.
I completely agree with you about what you said about the books and movies and the differences between how much information that they can present. And it's common, when you think about people that are disappointed because their favorite book got made into a movie and it left out their favorite character or their favorite scene or whatever. And I know, like in Lord of the Rings, for instance, my son was just devastated when Tom Bombadil wasn't in the first installment of that series. So I think it's something that, we have to give a nod towards the authors of the original books, because we get the ability to fulfill our worlds and build them out and flesh them out as much as we want to. We're not constrained by a 2-hour window that is, the typical dictate for a Hollywood movie.
Absolutely. And I will give those people credit, whoever adapts those books and movies, because it can't be easy converting, you know, a 9-10 hour audio experience into a 2-hour movie. A great example I would give you is Ready Player One. I love that book. I love the audio book. It was one of my first lit RPGs before I got my hands on everything else. And I wasn't unpleased with the movie, but it definitely left out a lot that I wish was in there, including all the Dungeons and Dragons nods. But it was still a decent movie.
It was. And, you know, I have to say, one of the things I enjoyed the most about the movie was that how they captured the visual representation of the things that they tried to represent in the books. You know, all the different avatar features, you know, especially towards the end when they all came in at the end for the big battle around the castle. And they, you know, all of the avatars of all the players in the system came rumbling across that plane. And you just started seeing people, you know, you saw different characters from, you know, old anime cartoons, and you had stuff from different gaming systems, and it was just fascinating to see all of that represented in one place. I certainly enjoyed it greatly. So, I mean, there's things that a movie can do that make it a rich experience in and of itself that a book has to rely on the reader's imagination to capture.
I completely agree, and that's why I enjoy reading and going to the movies. You get a little bit of both worlds.
So you mentioned audiobooks, and audiobook experiences are something that I really enjoy, and I enjoy hearing my books in audiobook. Have you considered what you'd do if you could get your book into an audiobook setting? And you do have it out in audiobook, don't you?
Yeah, it actually released today on the 19th. I got an amazing narrator, David Nielsen. He's a voice actor. Do my book, and I think he did a fantastic job.
Isn't it amazing to hear your story read back to you and performed like that?
It's a strange experience. It's amazing, but it's so weird the first or second time you listen to it, and after that point, you can just enjoy it.
Yeah, I think part of the thing, like my more recent books, I've gotten them done quickly following publishing, so that they've kind of done what you've done, which has come out rather fast on the heels of the initial release of the ebook and paperback. But in my case, in the first time I'd written the book a year and a half before, and then I'd written other books since, and then I got the audiobook done. So by the time I got the audiobook back to listen to, it was almost 2 years after the fact. And there were whole sections of that book I'd forgotten all about. And so it was very fun to hear like, oh, wow, I forgot about this part. And this is kind of interesting to hear it back in this format. So I think that that's for me, a hidden gem of getting audiobooks done is not just that they're a great way to connect with a whole different audience, but it's a great way for me to enjoy my books after having written them. So,
oh, I completely agree. And there's been sections of my audiobook that while I'm writing a second one on the way to work, I've been listening to my first audiobook, and there's things I remember, like, I made him do that. I don't remember writing that at all. And it's like learning your whole book over again. And it's pretty fun to discover it.
It's actually now a tool I use when I go back into one of my series to write. If I have the audiobooks there, I'll go and listen to the last few audiobooks in the series, you know, the most recent audiobook, to kind of refresh my memory on where did I leave the story. And so I can pick up from where I left off. And it's a great time effective tool to do that rather than sitting down and rereading everything. I can listen to select scenes or whatever and do it while I'm doing something else. So I found that is really helpful to get caught up again, because I have, you know, at this point I have 5 or 6 different series that I've written in, and it's hard to keep track of what each main character does sometimes in each series. So I've found that helpful.
Yeah, I'm glad I just have the one for now, but I do have the groundwork on a few more, and I'm glad I'm going to have those audiobooks to reference.
Definitely. So let's talk a little bit about that. I mean, you've obviously got the Phoenix Kingdom series, which is your first book, and you got book 2 you're working on now. But Do you have other ideas for projects aside from the Phoenix Kingdom series?
Yeah, I have two. One is just an idea, and the other one's pretty fleshed out, but I want to get at least book two in the current series out before I go into that. But the one that I have pretty fleshed out is a sci-fi lit RPG that takes place, you know, similar universe, but all sci-fi based rather than fantasy.
You know, it's interesting. I wondered about that because when I first looked at, when I was first reading your book, there was some reference in there to a ship captain, a spaceship captain. And I wondered if there was an option for, you know, the VR character to switch into a sci-fi setting. And maybe that happens later in the book. So if it does, don't do any spoilers, but, it's, there aren't enough sci-fi lit RPG series out there. Really? I mean, that's one of the most common questions I see is from people is asking, you know, for a good sci-fi based lit RPG book.
Yeah, I spent, while my narrator was doing my audio book and we were conversing back and forth, I spent that month or two just writing the rules and the story outline for the sci-fi book. And I'm excited to dive into it. But like I said, I really want to get Endless Fantasy Online and the Phoenix Kingdom and the Elk Kingdom book two. I want to get that started and out before I start venturing off and leaving my poor character Luke behind.
No, I completely understand. And you want to keep your fans happy too. And I'm sure there's people out there that want to make sure you're staying in this world for at least the time being, at least through book two and maybe another book afterwards. So what's your, let's move on real quick because we're getting down towards the end of our call, but I do want to make sure that we talk a little bit about how you like to reach out to your readers. I know you have done a few like in-person events and of course online availability as well, but tell me a little bit about what it's been like to meet people face-to-face.
It's been pretty amazing, to be honest. I started a bunch of online, you know, website, Facebook groups, but I reached out to a bunch of local libraries and bookstores and gaming stores, and a bunch of them have opened their doors to me, and I got to meet with fans. Some people already knew about me online, some were new fans, and it was like having my own little mini convention and just meeting like-minded people. I didn't have any place where I didn't have a great reception, and for book two, I'll absolutely be doing the same thing. I mean, it was a fantastic experience getting to talk to people, get their feedback, talk to them, tell them about the genre, you know, turn more readers into love people who love to read our genre. So it was just a great experience. I mean, I really, truly enjoyed it, and I'll be doing it for every book I release moving forward.
Yeah, there's something about that face-to-face contact with somebody that you know, picks up your book and looks at the cover and reads the back and then looks at you and says, this looks like a lot of fun. You know, you don't get that connection, from a Facebook message or comment on your post or something like that.
I agree. Not to say that I don't love the feedback I'm getting online, and it has been overwhelmingly positive, and I've gotten some private messages and emails, but to shake somebody's hand and have them say, hey, I loved when your character did this, you know, what's next for your character, and to have them be that engrossed in your world is life-changing.
Definitely. So where can people find you online if they want to find more about what you're up to and more about when maybe your next book's coming out or any little sneak peeks you might give?
Absolutely. You can find me on my official website. That's just devinosplund.com. Or you can find me on Facebook. I have a Facebook group, Devin Osplund Books. I post some chapter snippets on there, as well as some sneak peeks of some upcoming stuff.
Excellent. And I noticed you have some swag, too, on your Facebook page. So people really enjoy the Endless Fantasy Online book or the Phoenix Kingdom series. Looks like they can get t-shirts and fun stuff like that too. So definitely make sure everybody should check that out for sure. Devin, it's been great having you on the show. You know what I'd like to do is, you know, put it out there that when you maybe get this other series out, you know, let me know for the sci-fi version of it. It might be fun, even though this is the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. I consider Lit RPG sci-fi to be fantasy enough to come on the show. So it's my show, my rules. So I'd love to have you back to talk about that as well.
I'd love to be back. I had a blast talking to you. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your schedule to meet with me. And as soon as I got something in the works, I'll let you know.
That's going to wrap up this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. I hope you'll check up and catch up with us online for a whole lot more from the entire Fantasy Focus community. The Fantasy Focus community group is over on Facebook. And of course, you can find the podcast and a lot of other cool stuff over at fantasy-focus.com. If you get over there and check out this episode or any of the episodes, leave a comment on them. I'd love to hear from you on the episode posts. And I will get back to you if you have a comment or a question for me or the author I interviewed. I'll make sure they answer as well. Also on the website, on each podcast episode post, don't forget to subscribe to the show. There's links to do that right below the audio player at the top of each page. Go ahead and subscribe. That way you can learn when the next episode comes out. And you don't want to miss any of the episodes because we have some pretty amazing people coming up. Our next author is the amazing MC Cologne, and she's on the show, so you want to check that out. That's it for this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jamie Davis, author of Fun Fantasy Reads. Don't forget to follow me over on Facebook. I have a Facebook author page at Jamie Davis Books, and also our Facebook author group, where we have lots of fun talking about everything to do with fantasy books, not just my books, but what everybody's reading. That's over at Jamie's Fun Fantasy Readers on Facebook. Also, of course, my website at jamiedavisbooks.com, where if you want to check out my writing for free, you can do that. There's a place on the right-hand side you can sign up for my newsletter, and in exchange for that, I have an available book for you to check out for free. Just sign up for the newsletter, and you'll get a link to download that, and you can check that out. Whatever you do, though, I want you to come back here and check out the podcast, of course. So subscribe, come back here for the next show. And in the meantime, don't forget what I always try to remind you. Keep your eyes open, folks, because there's magic all around you.